Baseball is back. The 2025 MLB season is upon us. So what's the easiest way to keep up with all the big stars, top scores, and fun storylines from the night before? What's the solution? Is there a secret?
Chocolate milk and squats. That's the secret.
Not quite, Pete, but there is the Morning Lineup Podcast, a quick, less than 10-minute morning highlight show from MLB. It airs Mondays through Fridays on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You bring the chocolate milk, we'll bring the baseball news.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome to Memorial Day week here on WFAN. It is Evan and Tiki. We got a laundry list of things we need to get to, including how Tiki Barber was the ultimate winner of the weekend because he wanted it, he demanded it, and the Bleacher Creatures listened by turning their back on Juan Soto.
That's what I'm talking about, Bleacher Creatures.
We'll get to that later. Plus, me, Tiki, and Sean will have ceremonies to put our L's on because Tommy Lugauer and the New York Knicks are going to the Eastern Conference Finals. And let me start by congratulating the New York Knicks and their fans. Friday night was an ass-whooping, and for the first time in more than 25 years, they're in the Eastern Conference Finals. No troll here. Congratulations to their fans. Another congratulations is in order to the Yankee fans. This Subway Series was very emotional over the weekend. There was a lot of energy in Yankee Stadium. The Yankees were the winners. The Mets were the losers. Now let's get to Juan Soto. The honeymoon is over.
Officially?
It is officially over because whether it was naively or it's because we really felt it, most Met fans looked at this weekend as the weekend Juan Soto became a New York Met. The weekend where he'd have fun, the weekend where he'd mash, the weekend where he'd make Yankee fans cry, and none of it happened. He wasn't productive offensively, continues to struggle with runners in scoring position, and then to make matters worse, he moped his way all over the field for 3 days. And as we sit here on a Monday afternoon, I tell you this, and I tell Juan Soto this. I'm not giving up on you. I'm not fully panicking. But now's the time to wake the F up.
Right.
Because it didn't happen at Yankee Stadium. This fantasy that all of us had that, oh, he's going to see the Yankee fans, and that's going to motivate him, and he's going to get red hot. None of it happened. And so I think I speak for many when I say, Juan, I'm thrilled you're a Met. I'm thrilled you decided to come here. I'm thrilled you took Steve Cohen's beautiful money. But now the honeymoon is over. It's time to produce the way we expect you to produce.
Yeah, it's about being locked in for Juan Soto. And I wonder, and we're starting to hear this stuff. I know Boomer talked about it this morning. The validity of it, we don't know, but it is what it is. But it's becoming the talking point around Juan Soto. And that's all the other stuff. Not the baseball stuff, but the private jet and the family, whatever it's called, that, you know, that is the suite and all these accommodations that he get. Obviously, the money's a big deal. But for me, it feels like for Juan Soto, the main thing isn't the main thing. And that is being Juan Soto. That is being great. All that other stuff doesn't matter. And it shouldn't be talked about. All the platitudes or the accolades, nothing matters other than being a great baseball player. And I feel like somewhere along the way, that got lost with Juan Soto, and he's struggling to find it again. And as soon as he gets baseball being number one again, he'll be Juan Soto again. So I don't think you should be worried about it, but it's just alarming that it's taken this long. I mean, we're middle of May now, and it still doesn't feel like he's anywhere close to having those consistent days that he had a year ago.
And that's what it comes down to. It's production. Like, a lot is being made of his lack of smiles, his lack of Soto shuffles. Mm-hmm. Bob Clappish wrote an article this morning in which he says, quote, "There are troubling signs for the Mets hierarchy. I'm told they're concerned about Soto's lack of enthusiasm for his new team."
But did he have it last year with the Yankees?
He did, but here's the difference. And this is why lack of enthusiasm for his new team. Smiling when he sees Aaron Boone. Smiling last year, not smiling this year. Shuffling last year, not shuffling this year. To me, here's the biggest difference. Last year, when he began the year with the Yankees, he produced like a house on fire.
Right.
And I think that his enthusiasm is based on his performance.
Right.
He isn't hitting
this
year.
He hit 41 home runs a year ago. I mean, it was a career high or a season high for him. 41 home runs, you're walking around the bases a lot of times having reasons to celebrate with your teammates.
And having a swagger.
And having a swagger because you hit 41 freaking home runs. And so that Juan Soto isn't here, right? That Juan Soto isn't producing. And so if I'm the highest paid player by a lot, especially in real money, not deferred money, real money in Major League Baseball, even if you say that it's not an issue, you feel that, man. Like, you know what the expectation is for you. And you know your teammates know what that expectation is. And when you're not doing it, how can you smile, right? How can you be all excited about, I don't know, it just looks like you're happy for the money and not happy for production. And so until he starts producing, you're not going to see Juan Soto smile.
And that's what I think it is, Teak, because I know there are a lot of Met fans, and this was fan fiction for a while, and now it's seeping into, well, is it real?
Yeah.
And that's the fan fiction of he regrets his decision. He doesn't want to be a Met. He doesn't like being there.
I promise you.
He misses
you.
The Yankees and all
does,
that.
I promise you he does not regret his decision.
Because
I
of promise the, you. Because when he goes and checks his bank account every
exactly.
2 weeks.
Exactly. Because his this generation, the next one, and probably the next one, and probably even the one after that, are fine.
Right, but that would have been the case if he took the Yankee money too, in fairness.
It doesn't matter. I'm just saying, you are fine.
Yes, I think, here's my theory, and I had this theory 2 years ago. Do you guys remember when the Mets sucked 2 years ago? And the talk around this town was, well, why? Is the locker room a problem? Does Pete Alonso hate
yes.
Francisco? Remember that?
Yes.
And when I would scream
Jeff
on-
Jeff McNeil stuff?
Jeff, everybody hated each other. It was right. The worst locker room ever. And what I would scream on the radio or on the Rico is, no, they just suck, and we're looking for reasons on why.
Right.
When it just may be that they suck.
Right.
I look at the Soto struggles the same way. He's not smiling. He's not shuffling. He's not doing cool handshakes because he's not hitting right now.
He's average right now.
Yes, he is not what he's normally at. And so I don't believe the fan fiction, which is now creeped into Bob Klapisch's reporting, which is he's not happy. He's got buyer's remorse. He doesn't like the room. He misses Jazz Chisholm. He misses Aaron Judge. To me, my novice eyes tell me he is a player frustrated by his lack of performance. And guess what, Juan? If you're frustrated by your lack of performance, I'll raise my hand and say, me too, bro. All of us are.
Yeah, I don't think the things that he's saying, that these reports are saying, aren't wrong. I think the reasoning is wrong. Like, the correlation is not correct. He's not happy because he misses the Yankees. No, he's not happy because he's not playing well right now. Does he miss the Yankees? I don't know. He's got new teammates. It takes some time to learn new teammates. And so, like, you can report things and throw a little bit of opinion on the side of it, and it makes it feel like he hates being a Met.
Right.
And that's not, I think, what's happening. I think being an elite player, you want to be an elite player. Right? There's a pride. Like, there's an ego that comes with being good and knowing it. And then when you don't produce, it's hard to make yourself be good, like be all right with that.
But you know what makes you look bad? Right now, believe it or not, Met fans, because this may be tough to imagine, the Mets are tied for having the best record in the National League. They mm-hmm. are. They're only a half game of the Phillies in the NL East, I get it.
Right.
But they have the same record as the LA Dodgers. They're a game ahead of the Padres. They're 29-18. And yes, they have a better record than the New York Yankees. There is only one team in Major League Baseball with a clear better record than the Mets, and it's the Detroit Tigers. So what I would say to Juan Soto, if you're listening on your way up to Boston, is wouldn't that make you happy?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that make you want to shuffle? Wouldn't that give you your kind of pizzazz? The team is winning. And what I heard from you and what I heard from Scott Boras was that's what it's all about. It's all about winning. And despite you being average to below average for the expectations we have for you, they're 11 games above 500.
True. But here's what's, I think, now starting to happen. For a lot of this early part of the season, we've been saying at some point the team is going to come to a mean or come.
Baseball is back. The 2025 MLB season is upon us. So what's the easiest way to keep up with all the big stars, top scores, and fun storylines from the night before? What's the solution? Is there a secret?
Chocolate milk and squats. That's a secret.
Not quite, Pete, but there is the Morning Lineup podcast, a quick, less than 10-minute morning highlight show from MLB. It airs Mondays through Fridays on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You bring the chocolate milk, we'll bring the baseball news.
Come off the high that they've been on.
Yes.
Right? They started off ridiculously hot, and they were doing it without Juan Soto being elite.
Right.
Like, he was just average, but they were still winning. Pitching was great. Starting pitching is still great. But eventually, Juan Soto is going to have to pick up some of that slack when everything else kind of comes back to earth. Well, over the last 17 games, really 22 games, they're 500.
Yeah, 11-11 in their last 22.
They're very average. And this is that moment, of meaning the last two, 3 weeks, where Juan Soto needed to start stepping forward
100%.
And being elite, right? Because when everybody else starts to be average, you can't also be average.
And you hit it right on the head, because the Met offense have gone limp. They went limp against the Yankees. They were even limp against the Pirates. They overcame it by winning 2 out of 3. Mm-hmm. And you know who else has gone limp? He's getting a lot of crap for his bad throw last night, and he deserves it, because Pete Alonso, his words not mine, cost the Mets the game last night. That's what he said.
Yeah.
And he's right. It was a Lucas Duda Ian throw, and it cost the Mets the game. But they also can't hit. And since May 6th, only an 11-game sample size, Pete Alonso's hitting 159. Pete Alonso has cooled off. Now, that's normal. That happens. That's baseball, Susan. But you know what also has to happen? And you just hit on it, Teague. This is when Juan Soto needs to heat up. Because for the first month of the season, he was a passenger in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Now he needs to drive. And this shouldn't be a surprise, because yes, a lot of guys have come here and they've struggled. Sometimes their entire first season has been a struggle. Well, here's what I'm telling you on May 19th. He's lucky they're in Boston. Because if you thought there were a trickle of boos in the middle of April, the Met fan is now saying, look, Juan, we're thrilled you're here.
Yeah.
We're happy you signed with the Mets. Now you got to produce. And while I've never been a booer, Tiki, I understand it now more than ever. Because he's got to produce. And this series against the Yankees, to a T, every Met fan lined up to say, this is where he breaks out.
Yeah, of course.
Everyone. Well, you did it, Tommy. Sal did it. We all did it.
It made sense. He's not traveling. He's at home. He's very familiar with Yankee Stadium and its short porch, which Cody Bellinger took advantage of and Juan Soto did not. Right? He knew everything. Now, maybe the emotion of it overwhelmed him a little bit, but I doubt it. He's Juan Soto. Right, he's been in humongous moments. He was, 20 years old when he won a world championship with the Nationals? So he knows what it takes to be elite when the time matters. The time mattered this past weekend, and he was,
It was the same crap is really what it was. Now, were there some positives from Juan Soto? Did he play a good right field? Yeah. He made a really good play off the right field fence on a double to hold a runner from scoring.
Right.
He made that nice running catch last night. He also stole a base that directly led to a run. So it was actually the opposite of everything we thought about Juan Soto. Good base running, good defense, no bat, right? It's the opposite.
Right, one hit right in the series.
But he's paid to be impactful, and he hasn't been impactful. And I don't know if the crowd got to him. I don't know if that's really what happened. The sign that it may have gotten to him is the fact that last night he was supposed to be the dude with the microphone during the third inning, and 45 minutes before the game, according to Carl Ravitch, he said, I don't want to do it.
Now, how would that... He speaks English.
Yeah.
But he also uses a translator at times, right?
I've only seen him speak English with reporters. I haven't seen him with a translator.
So, in an in-game... I'm just trying to think how this would have worked. In an in-game action... And he's trying to focus. He's also now translating in his head what's being asked of him and then the answer so that it sounds right. I just think that was a bad idea from jump.
Well, the bad idea was Juan Soto knows if you're mic'd up in right field, all they're going to ask you about are the Yankees, their fans, and Aaron Judge.
And the guys booing behind you now.
And you know
or
what?
Turning their back on you.
And by Sunday, you're sick of it. And I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm a Met fan, so I know a lot of Yankee fans wanted to hear Juan Soto's answers every day to being booed, every single day. What'd you think of this? What'd you think of that? I only speak as a Met fan. I'm done with it after Friday. I don't care anymore. You know what I want to know from Juan Soto? How come you're hitting 130 with runners in scoring position? That's what I want to know. And so I get why Juan Soto changed his mind for not wearing the microphone. There's also conflicting reports. Do you have the Carl Ravitch audio, Tommy? This is from last night's game in which Carl Ravitch needed to tell the people, hey, we were supposed to have Juan Soto. He was supposed to broadcast. He was supposed to be in right field. And unfortunately, he's not. Now, Bob Clappish said it happened minutes before the game. As according to Bob Clappish, he changed his mind, quote, minutes before the game, and Soto told Met officials he was tired of answering questions about the Yankees captain Aaron Judge and explaining why he chose the New York Mets.
God, are we still asking that question?
I guess so.
I mean, seriously, we're 2 months into the season. We're still asking that question?
That was...
Maybe the relationship with Aaron Judge matters, but why he chose the Mets over the Yankees? Come on, dude. Or any other team. Boston, L.A., etc., that he could have chosen? Who cares?
Here's what Carl Ravitch said on the broadcast. Hopefully this is the right clip. I cut a lot of things from last night's game.
Yeah, you can ask Brad and Nimmo a question using that hashtag AskSNB. Yeah, Juan Soto was going to wear the mic, but about 45 minutes before the game, apparently changed his mind. So Nimmo steps in, and he will wear the microphone tonight.
So you want to say that's little? He said 45 minutes before the game. Bob Clappish is saying minutes before the game.
Yeah, 45 minutes is a long time.
There's a big difference. I'm not mad about him changing his mind because
I don't even care about that.
No, but that's a sign of, hey, I'm sick and tired of hearing about this.
Yeah.
So when we try to figure out what was he thinking about the weekend. Yeah, there's a chance that Sunday he's like, I don't want to do this anymore.
No, I hear you.
I don't want to see
you
talking about this
Sunday,
anymore.
It's too late. And Nimmo did a great job, by the way. They lauded him. He's going to have any job he wants, they said afterwards. I mean, the broadcast was, it was all right.
No, it was all right.
The only thing there's one thing that really got under my craw.
Go ahead.
One thing.
Go ahead.
Austin Wells got drilled in the place you don't want to get drilled.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
And they showed that replay.
Yes.
At least four times, and said nothing.
Why would they not refer to the jewels?
They kept showing it and said nothing. A little like, "Hey kids, this is why you wear your cups." that would have sufficed. It would have told the entire story without saying anything. They said nothing.
You know what's funny?
You can't grab there.
It was a moment for like levity in like a really tense game, and they just missed it.
So that's what bothered you?
It bothered me so bad.
You know, it's funny. That's probably a small thing.
Because every dude's like, dude, he just got drilled into you know what?
No,
and they said nothing.
And days earlier, Luis Torrens got drilled into you know what? And that's what I talked about.
Exactly.
It's funny that annoyed you. I have one thing from the game that annoyed me. This one I'm pretty sure I sent to you, Tommy. This was the Brandon Nimmo question, okay? This is a small, tiny thing that bothered me, all right?
Okay.
Brandon Nimmo, you're about to hear this, and you got to listen carefully. It's a small thing that bothered me. Brandon Nimmo casually mentions that his wife gave birth to a daughter. Eduardo Perez's follow-up pissed me off. Ooh. Take a listen.
I had my daughter in November, and now I was like, you know what? I got to look like a dad a little bit, so get the baby face out for a little bit.
How old is she now?
She is just over 6 months old. Make that play. She's just over.
How old is she now? He just said she was born in November. What, you can't do the math yourself, Eduardo? That one annoyed me. We all have our things, right?
It's all little things, too. Nothing to do with like the actual broadcast or how they called a pitch or a strike or whatever, criticizing the umpire or the manager or Juan Soto, whatever. It's just like the little stuff.
Yeah, Tiki's annoyed about not mentioning balls. I'm annoyed by Eduardo Perez not doing the math on his own. But what we all should be annoyed about, not Yankee fans, you guys should be happy, but us as Met fans, is that Juan Soto had a chance this weekend to make his mark, and he did nothing. We'll get to your calls next, 888-808-1019. And Juan Soto's lack of hustle last night led us all stand up, not turn our back, but just stand up. And applaud Tiki Barber.
Thank you.
Let's go.
Thank you, Bleacher Creatures. Some of the people in the stadium booed, but I saw you, Bleacher Creatures. I saw you stand up when Juan Soto came out to right field, and you did what I told you to do. You turned around and looked at the back of the stadium and did nothing.
That's right.
At all. Thank you, Bleacher Creatures.
Excellent work by Tiki. He's not getting enough credit. You know, Gary Cohen didn't give him credit. Michael Kay didn't give him credit. Even Boomer this morning didn't give him credit. Keith McPherson not giving him credit. And that's okay, because the reality is we all know how and why that happened. Because for 2 months, Tiki Barber would take 30 seconds out of every freaking show. We weren't even talking about baseball. And Tiki would jam that baseball talking, as he's known to do.
Just the Soto talk. That's all I cared about.
And he got what he wanted.
If you know, you know, right? As the kids would do, I-Y-K-Y-K.
Close enough.
If you know, you know.
Yeah.
I-Y-K-Y-K. And really, the Yankee fans, I thought, did a mostly brilliant job over the weekend because they did everything.
Yeah.
Like, there was, I saw Sean on Friday. We were at the game Friday. And in his first at-bat, he did the turnaround like you suggested. In his second at-bat, now granted, the Mets were down 4-0, I think, at this point. But he stood up and cheered and said, thank you for the World Series one.
Good for you, Sean.
He did.
I did. Got a couple heads turning around looking at me.
Like, what the heck?
Yeah, why are you doing this? You're wearing a Yankee hat. Why are you cheering?
And then he followed it up by screaming at the top of his lungs, let's go Celtics.
That was a nice icebreaker.
Which is quite a spectacle.
Talk about an ass kicking, but we'll get to that.
But Yankee fans, they chanted, we have Grisham. Look, the F. Juan Soto stuff, I think, is classless. Like, I wouldn't go the curse route, but I thought overall the Yankee fans had a lot of fun with it. You know, there was even a sequence. I'm not sure if this was shown on TV, but Juan Soto threw a ball to the stands, into the crowd. I think it was the final out of an inning or whatever it was. And the crowd threw it back at him. I thought that was hysterical.
That's awesome.
And Juan even started the festivities off well on Friday night by doing the mock tipping of the hat.
Yep.
The problem was it was all downhill after that from Juan Soto.
Yeah. It did add, though. I mean, at least on Friday he got on base a lot.
He did.
He just walked.
Yes.
Yeah. But I think in the end he had a great throw home, too. That was a great moment Friday night. Good for Juan on that moment.
That was a terrible throw home.
But
he also threw to the wrong base last night, and luckily it didn't come back and kill him.
Right, missed the cutoff guy.
Yes.
I'll say this, if we could separate like the Met problem with Juan Soto and the Yankee fans having fun with it. The Subway Series is a fun spectacle every year. The Juan Soto thing added something this week and haven't been to two or three games. It was a lot of fun, a lot of energy. It was great.
Here's the way I would look at it to back up your point about what it added. And I don't want any Yankee fan to take this the wrong way, though some of you will take this the wrong way. I have been to Subway Series since the beginning, 1997. And forever, it has always felt like it was bigger for us than it was for you. And this was the first time, obviously because Soto left and joined the Mets, and whether you wanted him to go or you're bitter or you're over it or whatever, wherever you fall on it, the Subway Series for the first time in my life mattered more for Yankee fans than it did for Met fans. And that's not me minimizing losing 2 out of 3. I'm not happy. I don't want anyone to think like, oh, Evan's just playing it off. No, I was pissed. I don't like losing 2 out of 3. I don't like losing 2 out of 3 to anybody. I don't like losing 2 out of 3 to the Yankees. I don't like leaving Yankee Stadium on a Sunday night with my 8-year-old. I don't like it. I don't like any of it. But it was the first time, to your point about the Subway Series, where it felt bigger for you. It just felt that way.
I think, look, I'm not going to get into a whole match on this. I just think the Yankee fan finally matched with the way the Met fan usually views this. I wouldn't say it necessarily meant more. I think it just meant a lot to both. It felt like a Yankee-Red Sox game to me. We sat there that first inning. The place was jumping. It was alive on Friday night. It continued into Sunday.
So you're admitting it mattered more to you, right?
No. I'm admitting now it finally mattered as much as it did to Met fans, which I thought were cool. I even saw, Evan, the scene yesterday. I'm walking up to the stadium. An 8-month pregnant woman with a F. Juan Soto shirt on. I mean, now, does that say Subway Series in New York? That was great.
I think what you're trying to explain, and Tommy explained this to Jet and told him he should use this at school today, is that yesterday was what, Tommy?
Oh, let me be the first, Evan, to congratulate the Yankee fan for winning their World Series this weekend. See, it was your World Series, not ours. And it proves what I've been saying for months, that Big Brother in town, Met fan, didn't really care about the Subway Series. It was just another couple games in May where the Yankee fantique, it mattered.
Stop.
This was their World Series.
This is what you're telling yourself because you lost 2 out of 3.
Exactly.
I mean, I was in the building and I heard F. Juan Soto chants as I was leaving, not let's go Yankees.
Guys, it's not what Tommy's telling himself. It's what Tommy told Jet to say at school today. And I told Jet, listen, you do what you got to do.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't advise this so much, but Uncle Tommy is suggesting you do.
Here's why. When I looked at young Jet, and Jet is how old now, Ev?
8 years old.
8 years old. I saw a young Thomas Lugauer.
Oh, don't say
who
that.
Grew up in the 90s.
Jeez, God forbid.
And dealt with a Yankee dynasty. And I could just see he didn't know exactly what to do when he went to school. So I went, you know what, Jet? Say this. And his eyes lit up. I'm like, well, don't tell your mother that I said this, that Uncle Tommy said it. But if a Yankee fan steps to you and acts all tough, hit him with that and you'll disarm him.
And I have been told that is his plan today. And I will give you a full update tomorrow on how that goes in school. Now let's get to your calls. 888-808-1019. We will address Juan Soto's lack of hustle coming up in the next 15 minutes. Let's go to Paul in Queens. How are you, Paul?
Baseball is back. The 2025 MLB season is upon us. So what's the easiest way to keep up with all the big stars, top scores, and fun storylines from the night before? What's the solution? Is there a secret?
Chocolate milk and squats. That's the secret.
Not quite, Pete, but there is the Morning Lineup podcast, a quick, less than 10-minute morning highlight show from MLB. It airs Mondays through Fridays on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You bring the chocolate milk, we'll bring the baseball news.
Hello, Paul.
Paul, what's up?
Paul going once. Paul is gone. We'll go to Carlo in North Brunswick, New Jersey. What's up, Carlo?
Okay, I root for the Mets, but I'm a Yankee fan. Now, I'll tell you why. I root for all New York teams. I root for the Knicks, the Giants, the Rangers. When I was a kid, there were no Mets, so they were never my enemy.
Okay,
makes sense.
My enemy was the Red Sox. And the Dodgers, the Brooklyn Dodgers.
All right.
Not the Dodgers now.
Okay.
I'm 85 years old.
All right. Sounds
so
great.
Before the season started, I was hoping that he would go to the Mets because I know he wasn't going to go to the Yankees because they could not outbid Steve Cohen. Steve Cohen has a lot of money, and he doesn't depend on the Mets to make money.
Yes.
Steinbrenner, on the other hand, that's where he makes his money,
all
the
right.
Yankees. That's
okay.
That's his paycheck.
All right.
So I knew he was not going to outbid for Soto.
All now, right. So what's your point?
I told my brother-in-law, all my brother-in-laws who are all Met fans, I was happy they got Soto, but don't expect too much.
What?
The guy is going to hit 285, and he's going to hit 30 home runs as a Met.
Okay, why did you expect
Mets
that?
Mets, you know, because where the Mets play is not Yankee Stadium.
I completely disagree with you. If he hits to left center, which he has done throughout his career, left center is a more hitter-friendly ballpark than Yankee Stadium. I don't want to hear about the ballpark.
Oh, wait, hold on.
The ballpark is not affecting him.
Hold on, Evan.
Yes.
Does this mean that Yankee Stadium ruined Juan Soto?
Well, maybe Carlo believes that.
Just,
I don't.
It just got me thinking about that.
But what evidence do you have for that?
Because he's not hitting because he's trying to pull the ball.
He wasn't doing that last year at Yankee Stadium, though. Like, the beauty of what he did last year is, yeah, he ended up hitting more home runs.
He crushed a couple into the second deck in right field.
But how many Yankee Stadium home runs did he benefit from last year? The answer is not really many.
No, you're right.
I don't think he could change his approach at all.
I'd have to go look at the Fangraphs thing and figure it out. But you're right. It felt like he was all over the ballpark.
The ballpark has not affected him. We're trying to figure out what it is, and maybe it's as simple as the pressure of the contract. And that's the easy one. That's the one I think most people will point towards. Not because of anything about Juan Soto, but because that's what happens with guys who get massive contracts, whether their name is Jason Giambi or their name is Carlos Beltran. It's happened a lot.
And it's accelerated because Juan Soto is the highest played player in all of New York sports. I mean, all American sports.
Yes. $765 million. Who else has that?
Yeah. I'm just trying to think per year, per everything. I mean, you'd have to go to, I don't know, some international soccer to find that. And it's probably the Saudi guys. But other than that, he's the highest played athlete.
So is that affecting him?
I mean, you can't help but think about it.
But what do you think?
Not even not think about it. It's probably not a daily thing. He's not waking up every day going, hey, I'm making $70 million this year. But it's just something you know.
I think we assumed that Juan Soto wasn't going to pull a Beltran or pull even a Lindor or pull a Teixeira early on or a Giambi early on. Because he just experienced a year in New York in which you could argue he had more pressure because he was playing for the contract.
Yeah, but
so I think that experience led us to believe, well, he's not going to go through your typical first year, first few months New York struggle.
But he also wasn't the guy, wasn't the man on that team. That was Judge. And he's kind of not even with the Mets. So that's not the, I can't even say that's the issue because Lindor is the guy.
And wouldn't
and
you think
Alonso for the first part of the season has been the
but
guy?
Wouldn't you think playing to earn the money is more pressure than playing once you have the money?
Well, I mean, I remember when I was playing, guys, a lot of guys who get paid, they just would turn into different players.
Saw that with Muhammad Wilkerson.
Right,
it does happen.
Like, yeah, all right, you're good. You're not hungry anymore. But I don't think that's the case with Juan Soto. In fact, I know that's not the case with Juan Soto. I just think he's struggling. Something's off mechanically with him. his own personal mechanics. Like yesterday, I don't know if he ever, if he always did this, but did you see his foot turn?
Mm.
It was like really turned, like almost awkwardly turned his front foot the way that he was setting up. And it just, it felt like he's tinkering to try to find something to make him comfortable. And he doesn't look comfortable.
Let's go to Mickey and Walcott. What's up, Mickey?
Hey, guys. Hey, EMT. Thank you for taking my call, as always.
Pleasure, man.
Evan, all right. This time, I got to come at Evan. Oh, I'm not coming at you. I'm going to join you on this boat. But hopefully, you can, you know, bring me back down to earth.
Go ahead.
So, you know, I don't know what ticks me off more. Either Juan Soto struggling or not living up to his contract or out there in the field laughing his butt off with, you know, the greatest, you know, hitter of all time, that is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it that the Mets just are not living up to the moment? Are they not ready for this big moment? Is this weekend a semblance of how this rendition of the team is just not ready for the playoffs or the, you know...
Oh, hold on. Can I stop you there, though, Mickey? Mickey, let me stop you here. They swept the Philadelphia Phillies at Citi Field not too long ago. Mm-hmm. Isn't that showing, if you want to look at a regular season games, if you choose to do so, which you're doing, hey, this is the moment or this isn't the moment, wouldn't that qualify as being ready for the moment?
It would last year.
No, I'm talking about this year. They swept the Phillies a few weeks ago. So I can't look at a regular season series, good or bad, and say, oh, this shows they're ready or not ready for the moment. And here's what's frustrating about Juan Soto. I'll speak for myself. It's not the smiling. It's not the lack of smiling. It's not the shuffle. It's production. It's the fact that this Met team, to a T, no one outside of Pete Alonso is hitting their value with runners in scoring position. Not a guy, not a person. It sucks all the way around. And Juan Soto may be the face of it. He is 5-for-38 with runners in scoring position. That's a 132 batting average. That's a 476 OPS. He was 0-for-3 in this series against the Yankees, where we all thought he was going to wake up.
Yeah.
So I'll make it very, very simple. The frustration about Soto is not the million other things people want to come up with. We'll talk about it because I respect it's on people's mind. But for me, it's one thing. It's production.
Right.
And I believe once he produces, all those other issues, quote unquote, will go away. When he's producing, he'll shuffle. When he's producing, he'll smile. When he's producing, things will feel happier for Juan Soto. But for me, as just one human being, that's what's frustrating.
Yeah. And I think it's frustrating for Juan Soto. And it's why the conversation about the happiness and his, you know, his missing the Yankees and all that other stuff, it has nothing to do with the people. Has everything to do with the production. That's what it comes down to. How you produce matters for great athletes. And Juan Soto is a great baseball player, and he's not playing like one.
Dave's in Rockville Center. How are you, Dave? Hello, Dave.
Dave, what's up, dude?
Dave isn't there. We'll go to King George. What's up, King George?
Hey, the ER room. I'm the one who gave you that name. Because remember I said anyone who was silly when you were with Joe? I said, anyone who was silly enough to go up against you ends up in the ER room.
That's right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
And Tiki is the Frederick Mesmer of sports show host because he got those people to stand up and not denigrate themselves with vulgarity and profanity.
That's right.
Because in case you don't know, Frederick Mesmer was the father of modern hypnotism.
That's where Mesmer came from?
Yeah, mesmerized. Yeah, it came from Frederick Mesmer.
Ah, nice. I learned something new today. Yeah, I appreciate that.
And I don't get mad at Juan Soto, because what did Voltaire say? When it comes to matters of money, all men are of the same religion.
We would all do the same thing, King George. All of us.
Yeah. And you still putting other talk show hosts who are silly enough to go against you in the emergency room. Because remember, I called Joe the surgeon, and because he dissects all other talk show hosts, and I called you the ER.
Well, thank you, King George. I didn't have to put you in the ER today. You didn't come up and fight me. I appreciate it. Thank you for the kind words. Let's go to Anthony in New Jersey. What's up, Anthony?
Evan, Tiggy, what's up, guys?
All's good.
What's up?
Okay, so I'm looking at Juan Soto. He's not there. He's not all there right now. I'm watching him miss fastballs that are in the zone that he usually crushes or at least makes contact with. I'm looking at him, watching him. He's off balance against any breaking ball. You've never seen this guy bail out on a pitch. You never see that before.
Right. Yep.
I don't
Max
know.
Fried.
Max Fried
did that to him yesterday. You are
correct. Yeah, I know. He's talking, laughing with the umpire after, you know, in between every pitch. I don't know where this guy's was, whether it's, I don't know, lack of focus. He's not, you know, 100% there yet mechanically. You see him go down to the cages after every bat. You know, he's working on something, but I mean, I don't know. It's not Juan Soto that we've seen for the last 6-7 years.
But one thing, and I don't know if this will make anyone feel better, but I remember when the San Diego Padres traded for Juan Soto, mm-hmm. and the Mets were very much on the outskirts for trading for him because there was no way Mike Rizzo was going to trade him in division, and Yankee fans were kind of dreaming about it too, but it didn't happen, and Soto got traded in that monster deal to the San Diego Padres, and we sort of stopped caring about it. Mm-hmm. But we would check in every once in a while just to see how things were going,
yeah.
and he didn't hit.
No,
because like, remember, he did not produce.
Right, he kept getting compared to, what was the former Met?
Daniel Vogelbach.
Vogelbach.
Yeah.
The OPS of Vogelbach and Soto were identical, basically.
Juan Soto had a two-month period, May and June of that year, so it was prior to the trade, into the trade, where he backed up the months by going 235 and 195. Mm. OPSs of 810 and 770. He didn't produce for an extended period of time. Right. And I'm going to guess that while that was happening, he wasn't shuffling.
No.
And he wasn't smiling.
Right. But I think we're used to seeing, because we saw so much of him with the Yankees. And Sean, what was the game? It was in the ALCS?
The game-winning home run?
Yeah, he was so dialed in off of Gattis. Like, he was in his grill.
That was peak Soto.
It was peak Soto in his grill. Like, I dare you. I'm not swinging anything out of the zone. I dare you. Just looking at him. That's what his eyes were telling Hunter Gattis. And then he finally threw it into the zone and he crushed it. That's the dialed in Soto that everybody wants and expects, but we're not getting it. And the question, and really the only one that matters, is why not? And that's a Met issue to figure out, but it's also a Juan Soto issue to figure out. He's got to figure it out.
He's got to figure it out, because at some point, and that time is now, with this team playing average baseball for a little less than a month, they're going to need him. They're going to need him to be the guy
they need him right now.
That's my point.
That's what I'm saying. They need him right now. They're 500 over the last 20-plus games, and they haven't been great.
In their last six games, the three against the Pirates, the three against the Yankees, they've scored 13 runs. Mm. That's what they've done. In this series against the Yankees, they were 4-for-25 with runners in scoring position. All it took was that one big hit. All it took last night was one big hit, and it hasn't happened. But the other thing that happened, and usually I defend it, but I'll explain why in this case I can't, we saw Juan Soto give up on a baseball field. We'll get to that next. Plus, New York Knicks fans, you're going to the Eastern Conference Finals. And coming up in a short period of time, we're going to put our L's on. Because I didn't think it would happen. Tiki didn't think it would happen. And Sean didn't think it would happen. So we'll get to the Knicks coming up. The toll-free number is 888-808-1019. Evan and Tiki here on The Fan as we take you up until 6:30 tonight.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer, where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory, that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.